This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello, this is Julia Zamiro, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Lucky you.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. It's lovely to have you as company with us tonight, today, at whatever time you might be listening to us. We're here at the end of the wires. It's brilliant. I'm Chris.
I'm Gordon.
And that makes me feel.
Yeah. What do you feel?
I feel lots of things. I feel happy. I feel sad. I feel all kinds of things. I do.
You don't speak good, don't you?
I don't always speak proper.
Oh, thank you indeed. That's our first little injection of humour. And we want to say thank you to Violet because she's given us a new name. She calls us the Happy Chappies.
Oh, well, we Violet, you should see what happens when we're getting this show prepared. We were a hell of a lot happy and say some of the most outrageous things you'd ever likely to listen to.
In the 1960s, we were being referred to as happy and gay.
That's right. But now we're just gay and gay.
Well, we still are happy, yeah. And we are still gay.
That's right.
It is.
The Flintstones had a gay old time.
Well.
Yeah. Never showed it on the cartoon. They sang about it in the song.
Been There, Done That is a history-type program where we talk about the contributions and lives of gay people in the world, recently, old and ancient. And we
You're talking about me again.
Oh, yes. Well, you are ancient. You're from last century. So is Phil. So is Chris. So we all are. But there are lots of people who have done a lot of work, unknowingly, possibly, in our quest for rights, gay rights, recognition for respect, and we like to acknowledge their part in the process.
I like to call it equality rather than rights, just equality. That's what we need is equality, to be everybody in the country to be equal to everybody else.
No, I want to be better.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Oh, why just be equal?
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be able to sweeten your tea, would you?
Without equal, yes, I would. I've got my... I've forgotten the name of the one I actually use.
Aspartame of one sort.
No, this is derived from sugar.
Oh.
And it was sent to me, or recommended to me, by Diabetes Victoria.
Wow.
They're and if I could remember group. The name, this would be a much more sensible statement.
They're a great group. They do look after you when you've for that sort of thing. Anyhow, but we're getting away from the subject, aren't we?
Yeah, so in today's show, we'll be talking about a couple of authors and an artist who actually have had wonderful opportunities with their own schools and work to present the gay stories around. We're going to be talking about Robert Desay, Randy Schultz, and Keith Haring, who actually did his dissertations on walls.
Not those walls.
No, it's dissertations,
oh,
dear, not.
Right. Oh, okay. I've still done
artwork.
I thought it was phone numbers on walls or something.
No. I spelled it with a D, not a P.
Oh, right.
We'll be talking about a couple of ancients from the earliest of years who modernized our concepts of the world and how it all happens. Galileo and Michelangelo was a marvelous person as well, an artist. He was gay, but Galileo wasn't, but there is a connection between the two of them. And we'll be talking about a couple of local identities who are having birthdays around about this time as well. We've actually got a big birthday book and we put people's names in there so that we can regurgitate their story, their life story.
Oh, do we have to regurgitate?
People celebrate their birthdays in many different ways.
Yes, they
do. Well, we do celebrate the birthday or an event that occurred on the 14th of February. Way back in the year 143, I think is the date.
Mm. He would be fairly old now.
If he were alive, that's for sure. Mm. And who are we talking about?
Valentinus.
Yes. And what was... What did he actually do? It's a traditional day on which lovers in some cultures declare their love by sending Valentine's cards, which are anonymous. I think that's the nice part. It means that the giver is actually able to express their feelings for another person, but the other person gets the warm buzz. Someone's got the hots for me.
Oh, yes. And then, but then of course, the florists love it as well, because you're supposed to send a red rose as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
But as you'd imagine, the church had a handle in this, because Valentinus was a candidate for the Bishop of Rome in the year 143, and in his teachings, the marriage bed assumed a central place in the version of Christian love, which contrasted sharply with the way mainstream Christianity was going at about that time. I don't know what they actually mean about that, or what do you think they might have meant? Love was always external, or you couldn't do anything, sex was taboo?
Well, I think sex was taboo except for procreation. And this is probably one of the things that the church always wanted was only procreation.
It might have been the invention of hotels you could book by the hour.
Yeah, it could
that would have changed the birthplace. Or the
love hotels.
Well, you never know.
It's an opportunity to express love for someone else, or your own desperation for not having a regular partner.
But why was Valentine chosen then for this?
He invented the greeting card.
Oh, did he? I thought it was the other people.
Well. Once again, the church had a handle in it. Pope Gelasius I, on the 14th of February 496, he actually declared the feast of St. Valentine. So therefore it entered the church calendar.
Had to have their hand in everything, didn't they?
They did,
Why is he always portrayed with arrows sticking out of him?
Because Cupid kept hitting him.
He was
shot with arrows. He was. I can't remember the full story about that, but they killed him with arrows, and that's what made him a saint or something, rather, because he was it's the back of my brain, which is not that good these days.
Well, imagine how many husbands he upset anonymously sending cards to women saying, I love you. I can see a few arrows in his back.
Yeah.
Well, of course, in ancient Rome, on the 15th of February, the day after, that was the feast day of Lupercalia, the festival of Lupercus, the god of fertility. So once again,
it's working out together.
The church has landed on a pagan celebration and readopted it.
Do you think St. Valentine might have been in love with Lupercus?
Well, who knows?
We'll just start that dirty rumour, right?
I can see a problem here.
What?
If you're not fertile till the day after Valentine's Day, then you've wasted your day, haven't you? You want to be fertile on the 13th, or ideally the 14th.
Oh, golly gosh. No, it's hard to get love these days, it would seem. People are always screaming out for it. But we've got some little friends that give us love every day of their lives. Your Eddie.
My four-legged fiend.
Yes. Little paws.
And Nina tells us about her cupcake.
Cupcake, yes.
He's a little bit of a devil at the moment.
He has a eating disorder. He's eating out of house and home, including the furniture.
And the bedding, yes. Pillows.
Yes. We hope cupcake's getting a little... But cupcake's only a little puppy, so we'll probably grow out of that.
Well...
And I can imagine that Nina would make sure that he doesn't eat too much of the furniture.
It's not good for the gut.
The gut or the digestive system, yes.
But they do give unconditional love.
And this is the thing with animals, and this is why I got very upset when that senator that in Parliament last week switched parties was a dog act.
Yeah.
Well, a dog would never do that. A dog will stay with you forever, and it's
actually a cat act. We had a cat when I was in my early teens, and the lady next door used to have a saucer of milk out. The cat moved next door.
Yeah. With our cat. Yeah. And it said, bugger off, yeah, we're going right. next door.
Yeah, we'll say that that's the senator that changed parties. We did a cat act, yeah. Not a dog act, because dogs are faithful things.
Well, dogs have owners, cats have servants.
That's exactly right, yes. Yeah.
I'm a dog person, in case anybody was wondering.
I'm a cat person. I love cats. I like all animals, actually, but I always think...
Cane toads?
Yeah, okay. Oh, no,
alligators?
No. Well, no, none of those sort of things.
Well, you can't make a blank as I love all animals except the ones that eat me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. And spiders.
Or ones that aren't
I don't
pretty.
Mind spiders. I'm quite happy with spiders.
Stop it!
I couldn't eat a whole one.
But I have a huntsman in the corner sitting there, and I just let him sit there. I don't care. It doesn't worry me. Spiders
have
never worried me.
Jaws are not bigger to put any of your apertures, your digits into your mouth.
No. It's just.
I bet he'd win in a staring contest, though.
Probably would.
You'd blink first.
Yeah. How many eyes has he got? Yes, yeah. There we are. Yeah. Golly gosh, and coming up next weekend, let's see, what would it be, round about the 19th, 18th of the...
The 18th night. The night of the 18th is White Night. Yeah, 18th, because Sunday is the 19th.
That's right. And White Night is a celebration here in the Melbourne city where a lot of the buildings are decorated with...
Lighting.
Lighting, yes. They project images onto existing buildings and change exactly what your eyes would have seen during the day. Daylight hours, something entirely different at night, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
But also, Chris, they're doing it in, I'm not sure whether it's Ballarat or Bendigo.
Oh,
at
yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
They're doing it the same, so the country people don't have to sort of travel down to Melbourne to see
no.
it. They'll have it in, I think it's, I can't remember, which. I knew it was one of the B's.
But what they are doing is actually projecting images onto existing really stunning old buildings that have got plenty of blank space, not just glass.
And I know why.
Why?
Because you can't project light on non-existing buildings.
That'd be very difficult. It would just go out to outer space, wouldn't it?
It's a waste of light.
They could see it in Mars.
That's right.
Or somewhere like that, yeah.
It's a bright idea, wasn't it?
But, yeah, it was a very good idea. But it's a wonderful night in Melbourne, apparently. I've never done it because I have to get up Sunday mornings to come into the studio here for 7 o'clock in the morning, so no good me going to see White Night.
They should hold it on the same weekend as Earth Hour.
Yes, that'd be a good
It'd
one.
It'd be grey night.
It would be because... turning the lights off night. Oh. Too confusing.
I'll make it work.
Let's talk about 100% Pure Love as sung by Crystal Waters.
For Valentine's Day.
Here on Joy.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
You can listen to us at any time or any of the other programs that we have here at Joy on podcast by subscribing to podcasts at Joy. You use a smartphone app. Mm-hmm. And you can go and listen to our show or any of the other podcast shows at the time that you select.
Can you listen to them on computer as well, then?
Oh, yes, you certainly can.
Right, you go to joy.org.au and just follow the prompts on that as well.
Yeah.
You can go to iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And if you've got a smart TV, you can hear us on your TV.
Wow.
We're in the podcast menu.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
That's brilliant. Yes, so there you are. There's no excuse. You can catch up with us at any time. And some of our listeners find that the times that we're actually slotted at the moment don't suit their bedtime hours, so they have to listen a little later. But if you've got your smartphone and your earbuds, you can listen at the time of your choosing.
That's exactly right. And there's not only us, there's lots of, just about every program on Joy has got a podcast too. So there's lots of things you can listen to.
There's over 100 of our shows at least.
Yeah. And there's plenty more that you can see, listen to. Yeah. Be great stuff.
You probably get sentenced to less for murder though.
Yeah, you probably don't
listen to 100 of our shows.
Well, we should try to, we try not to murder the English language too much.
No, right? We done treat it with respect, but...
On the 17th of February 1944 was born Robert Desai. And he's an Australian author, and he is not a young fellow.
No.
Of course, he's, what, 73 now, or something like that? Well, and I would think that he's had a bit of a problem with his heart.
Yes, he hasn't been very well, I must admit, because the last time I spoke to him, I had an interview with him, and we were having that big... transport problem here in Melbourne. There was something, there was, all the city was gridlocked or something or other for something. I know I was on a tram down in St Kilda and I had to sort of ring up the station to say, can you get the thing set up for me because I'm coming in, I'm supposed to be talking to Robert. And when I rang him in Tasmania, he said, you're having a bit of problem with your traffic over there, aren't you?
Smug little person.
Yes. But, he's a nice man. I've interviewed him twice.
Was he the one who almost died on the operating table?
No, he actually, he collapsed in a outside a hotel where he was staying in Sydney, and there was an Asian man saw him collapse and wondered what the devil was going on, so he picked him up and took him into the hotel, and the desk clerk had the presence of mind to realise that he was not well and wouldn't give him his room key, because had he given him his room key, he would have gone up to the room and died. And he called an ambulance. And they got him to St Vincent's Hospital, and they saved his life. Yeah, he was in hospital for quite a while with the complications of his heart attack. Yeah, so it was the Asian guy that picked him up, and he didn't know who he was. He never got around to finding out who had actually virtually saved his life by picking him up off the street, because people were walking around him thinking he was just one of those deros that sort of derelict people that just sort of do these things and what have you. So yeah,
but and why are we grateful that in fact his life was saved? Because he's been a wonderful spokesperson and author in words, in lectures, and in print for our community.
Oh, yes, yes. He's a very good... And he wrote a story about his mother. His main book was about his mother. And he also studied in Moscow, too.
Yeah.
He studied Russian history and stuff in Moscow.
And became proficient in the language, I presume.
Oh, yeah, he speaks fluent Russian.
Because he was pretty good on the old languages himself, I think.
Yes. But
young enough to be able to soak them up.
He was actually adopted by a couple and called Robert Jones. But eventually he found his birth mother, and her name was Desai, and that's where he took his mother's name, Desai, when he graduated from the university in Sydney. And then he went on to Moscow to study over there as well. And, of course, everybody hated him for being in Moscow at the time, because it was not one of those places you wanted to go to, because it was run by the, what do they call them, plutocrats, or whatever they call them over there?
Russians.
The Russians, yes.
Oligarchs.
The oligarchs and all that sort of crowd.
Well, yeah. No, that's not a very nice name for people.
The predecessors of Putin.
Yes. Putin.
Yes. But anyhow, he's a very nice man. He still lives in Tasmania with his partner. They've been together for years and years and years. Yeah.
And that's rather interesting that Robert actually doesn't support gay marriage, the equality marriage, but he's been with his partner for so many years, but they've lived together in harmony.
That's right. But he doesn't consider that gay people should be married. You can have the right to be married, but why bother? You know,
that's not
thing.
A problem. I don't have a problem with that concept, but it's the problem that the laws for supporting... the marriage laws support a heterosexual marriage and give rights and obligations and extensive legal powers to those in that registered arrangement. And we, at the moment, in the gay community who want to get married or have a live-in partner for life, don't get any of those legal benefits. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Where the inequality lies.
But I also don't consider that there should be a plebiscite for the rest of Australia to tell me how I live.
Of course not.
You know, we elect our politicians to do what the people want. Like 72% of the population want equality in marriage, and these ding-a-lings that sit up there in Canberra just don't want to have anything to do with it, because
it's the other ding-a-lings who keep saying it's a God problem.
Yes.
God's got nothing to do with the Marriage Act.
No.
He didn't write it.
He didn't write it.
No.
He didn't change it.
No.
That was John Howard.
Johnny Howard.
And in the old days, as somebody wrote, that in Egypt, you didn't get married in Egypt, in ancient Egypt. You just cohabited and had children, and they had the longest running society for thousands of years,
and they had more gods than the rest of us put together.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they were gods that they could appreciate, sort of thing. It's a bit like the Greeks, where they had all these famous names. The Apollo.
Well, see, we're more efficient. We've just got one god fits all.
Yeah, does he?
I don't know.
I know Mike Fitzpatrick.
Thank you very much, Phil. We don't go there. Randy Schultz, a US author.
Randy Schultz's birthday was...
August 1951.
But he actually died on the 17th of February.
In 1994,
that's what we're talking about today, because he actually passed away.
He wrote massive books and dissertations on the AIDS crisis. He was one of the first journalists to actually recognise that that medical situation was an important national issue. And he was working on the San Francisco Chronicle, and they let him actually start telling the real story. And his work actually resulted in a few books. One of them in 1987 was called And the Band Played On, Politics, People and the AIDS Epidemic.
That's a very good movie. If you haven't seen it as a movie, it's a great movie.
It was the first 5 years of the epidemic, and in it he actually charged the Reagan administration, the medical establishment, and even some gay organisations with indifference to the disease. And it was good that he raised that topic in the US to be front and centre in people's minds. We in Australia were a little bit lucky because our politicians actually jumped on board with the medical people and with the AIDS community, the gay community, saying we've got to decriminalise this. It's not a political matter. It's a medical matter. And we had a couple of politicians who were very, very supportive here in Australia in the 80s.
We were lucky we had the government, which we had at the time, because they got right onto it. And
not like shilly-shallying around.
No shilly-shallying around, because the Minister for Health decided to give the people money that were looking after the people with AIDS, not to give it to institutions to do anything. They decided that's where they met with the Victorian AIDS Council and the other councils around Australia, and they gave the money to those people, those organisations who were doing the work in the AIDS crisis. So that's what it was.
But just getting back to Mr. Schultz, as an author, he wrote The Mayor of Castro Street.
Yes.
The Life and Times of Harvey Milk.
Which they turned into the movie.
Yep. It's a very important part of gay history.
Oh, yes.
And not a very nice story.
No.
But one that needs to be told.
He was a great promoter of the gay cause in San Francisco.
Mm.
And the idiot that went in there and shot him and the mayor, you know.
Randy was only 42, such a young fellow.
Mm.
There's been lots of people, gay people around the world, and we have got a little song here to play for you.
We won't sing.
And this is one that
Violet
asked for.
Yes, and we're happy to play Everyone Is Gay.
Well, we are here, anyhow.
We are here, Henry. Indeed. You're on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that. Gordon, Phil, and Chris.
If you're gay, then you're gay.
If you're straight, well, that's great.
If you fall in between,
that's the best way to be.
You got so many options.
Every fish in the sea wants to kiss you.
Keep us on air. Become a member today. 1-300-JOY-949.
Yes, you can become a member of Joy as well. If you can't ring up during your business hours, you can always jump on your little computer or your smartphone and join by going to joy.org.au and following the links to member.
But don't take him literally. Please do not jump on your computer.
Unless you haven't got your shoes on.
Well, no, you might hurt yourself. Or if it's got a flat screen, you can say goodbye to that.
If you've got a touch screen, don't
touch it with your foot.
Oh, no, definitely not.
You might get all sorts of result.
And you might get electrocuted. They're calibrated for fingers, not toes.
Oh, right.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
We're getting off topic now.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Someone from the ancient times, well, okay, the 15th century.
Really that ancient?
Well, they're older than us, so that's all right. Is Galileo, 15th of February 1564, he was born, but strangely enough, that was a couple of days before the death of Michelangelo.
Another great Italian.
Who died on the 18th of February, 1564. Same year, same month, 3 days apart.
Mm.
Galileo was a scientist and an astronomer, and he was pretty good with telescopes, and his concepts of the world and the universe and how things happened. Because before him, before he came and postulated his theories and they were accepted by what I'm going to call the Western world, the Western world had been told by the church in Rome that this is how the universe exists. And there they had said that the earth is the center of everything, and the stars all fly around us, etc. The sun flies around us, goes to sleep, blah, 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 comes up again. Wrong. And Galileo proved in the Western concepts that the church was wrong. But what did the church do?
They took him out of the place.
They got nasty and they shut him down.
He proved that we were heliocentric, which is means the sun. Helio is the sun. And we were sun-centric, which we revolved around the sun and not the other way around.
Hmm.
And the church inquisition of 1610, they said that he was...
he was a heretic.
Heretic. And they,
he was talking against the word of the church,
yeah, that's
which
right.
was supposed to be divinely...
My Simpsons quote for the day.
Yes, please, says Nina.
There's no room in education for religion, just as there is no room for truth in religion.
Wow.
That's yes, the Simpsons.
Pretty deep.
Very deep for the Simpsons.
Who said that? Lisa?
Marge?
They passed a town law to promote creationism instead of Mr. Darwin's theory. And that would have been Lisa's defense, saying, well, there's no room for truth in religion, and there's no room for religion in education.
Wow. Apart from the Western religions and the Western concepts that we in our societies have been exposed to, there were the Eastern and the Middle Eastern concepts.
Oh, yeah.
In the Middle East, they had societies that already understood the sun was the center.
Yeah,
the Chinese had the sun as the center as well.
Poor old Galileo, he was thrown in prison and he was put in house arrest and he lived his life.
He died in
his own home under house arrest. He was never allowed out of the house. And it wasn't until earlier this century that the Catholic Church pardoned him.
Did they put in writing that the world's not flat?
No,
have they apologised for that one yet?
I think they've got to apologise to a few
other
politicians.
People first.
Yes, yes.
So we've got to apologise to a lot of people first because the church is not the fount of knowledge.
No, of course it's
and
not.
And it's not full of saints.
Yeah.
As we're finding out. It's, they've ruined their reputation quite badly, haven't they?
Yeah. There was Galileo. It took him, over 500 years by the time they pardoned him.
Boy, they hold a grudge, don't they?
You're not wrong there, Narelle.
We're talking also about Michelangelo. Now, have you ever been to Rome?
I've been to the Sistine Chapel. I have seen his great artwork, but they hadn't cleaned it when I was there. They closed the whole of the Sistine Chapel for about 5 years while they cleaned the Sistine Chapel ceiling and all the artwork behind the altar.
Did they rename it the Pristine Chapel?
The Pristine Chapel, yes. It was
all nice and clean.
Yeah. It was because of the smoke and the
things
for all the candles. Yeah, that's where. Yeah, anything that was burning in the chapel was leaving a deposit in the air.
So it became incensed.
It was very incensed, yes.
I have a question. When you were in Rome, did you?
I did.
Oh. So you did what the Romans do.
What the Romans do, yes.
I still don't know what they do, but everybody does it.
I've seen photos of the Sistine Chapel since it's been
but
cleaned.
What a talent. All his painting and sculpting and conceiving engineering things.
Yep.
And designing buildings and even simple things like, not simple, poems.
Yeah.
He,
a very multi-talented.
He had 10 people's worth of intelligence
in
his
body. He
was
like the other Italian, Leonardo, who was similar. Great painter, great artist, great designer, mechanical engineer and everything. But
were they non-threatening to the church then?
Well, no, because the church was paying him to paint all this stuff on the ceiling.
But he must have had ideas and concepts that weren't compatible.
Yeah, probably.
See, Galileo came out and said, well, you're wrong, and that didn't work for him.
No.
This guy obviously had a different approach.
Yeah.
He said, let me paint a picture and I'll tell you a story.
Yeah, well, there's a finger of God coming out to touch Adam.
Yeah.
You know, to give him the life. Yeah.
A little finger. Spark on the end. To the touch
that
screen.
That was a fickle finger of fate pointing at him. It's worth looking at some of these. And, of course, the statue of David is something to absolutely behold. It's so beautiful.
And why did he actually think that that was an appropriate statue to make? Because he had an eye for
the masculine beauty.
To that extent, he was one of us.
Mm, but the original David does not have a fig leaf on the genitalia area.
No, but it must have been cold weather at the time.
At some stage, somebody did sort of put something over the top of it.
Yeah. When Rome was actually sacked by the...
didn't they pay their bills?
By the vagabonds and things, they went around and they knocked the noses off and the appendages off the gentlemen statues.
But this was painted after. David was sculpted after that. But because one of the popes got very offended about the male genitalia being seen, so he had another fig leaf made to put over the top of it.
Golly gosh.
Mm-hmm. All this stuff we've had to do for popes.
Mm. Oh, well, fortunately, everybody is born free, and what happens to them afterwards is not the fickle finger of fate so much as politics and genetics and where you're born in the world. And you're on Joy. Been there, done that. It's the program with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Everybody's free. Here's Rosala.
Yay.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us and thanks for your emails. If you'd like to drop us a little note,
you can write an email to and send it to beenthere@joy.org.au.
And thanks very much to Nina for your email during the week, which we referred to a little earlier with your lovely little cupcake wrecking your house.
No, he's not.
He's just eating it.
Yes, I'm sure Cupcake's learning this lesson.
We've got some people who have birthdays around about this time, and one of them is a local person by the name of B. Humphreys, 17th of February, 1934. This person probably isn't as well known as his alter ego, Dame Edna Everidge.
And his other alter egos as well. He's got quite a few characters. There's quite a few characters in that man.
Yeah, but Dame Edna's the good one.
Yeah, Dame Edna's the most known, but there's Sandy Stone and there's
Sir Les Patterson.
Yes, the cultural attaché to Australia.
Yes. With his blue suit on.
With the big long appendage. Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Now, we're talking about Barry Humphreys, of course.
Yeah.
And Barry he crept out of the woodwork when none of us were really expecting these things to happen.
No.
And left us with this wonderful legacy. I mean, I don't think Dame Edna is actually out and about anymore these days.
Actually, Barry's basically retired from doing...
Well,
He's 82 now.
Yeah.
83 so this week. Yeah.
So he's allowed to. Mm-hmm. But no, he created so many live...
There was one
live characters.
Yeah, there's one character who doesn't. He did it for a short while. It was the trade union official.
Oh
boy, was it devastating! Because at the time I was working in a hotel, which was a trade union hotel, where all the unions used to drink. And then Barry put this one on, and I went and saw it, and I thought, oh my god!
No,
yeah.
But he analysed his characters and then really drilled down into them and replicated them to the extreme on stage.
He made the ordinary extraordinary.
He did,
and just magnified it up so that the people could see it rather than just being there. Just pushed it in your face.
Yeah. Wasn't it interesting that his portrayal of a female character was quite accepted by the Australian public?
Oh yeah,
you know. Yeah. Okay, he was in drag, but he was doing it in a way which was...
Chris Barry was an actor. He was playing a part. He wasn't like some of the... Like a gay drag queen that goes to the nightclubs and performs. Barry's characters were actually acted character parts, you know?
And I think a lot of people accepted Dame Edna as a separate character.
That's right, yes.
She wasn't Barry... In a dress.
No.
No.
She was Dame Edna.
That's right.
And the more outrageous she became, the less Barry. Mr. Humphreys was there. It was
once Barry started putting on the makeup for Dame Edna. He was Dame Edna.
Yeah.
You could not say Barry. He had to be addressed as Dame Edna.
You'd have to remain sane.
Mm.
That's right, yes. Mm. But, yes, Dame Edna, in the guise of Barry Humphreys, birthday on the 17th of February, 1934, still with us, still going strong.
And I've told you where Dame Edna was born, on the back of a bus. Up in country Victoria.
Oh, I thought it was in Moonee Ponds.
No.
Humoresque Street,
he was Edna Everidge from Humoresque Street, Moonee Ponds, but she was born in the back of a bus travelling between country towns when Barry was working for the MTC doing a play.
This
is the concept. And he would sit in the back of the bus because nobody could sleep because they just performed and they'd been entertained by the Country Women's Association or somebody like that, and with cups of coffee and tea and scones and buns and things, and Barry would get in the back of the bus and take off the women who had been in the thing, and that's where Dame Edna was born.
Lovely.
And just by cross-reference, Dame Edna hasn't been on The Simpsons, but she was referred to when the B-Sharps were a male vocal group with Homer and Apu and all the...
Oh,
the
yes.
And they did a, like the Beatles rooftop performance at the end of their career. And they said to each other, when did we last perform? And he says, Apu says, I think it was on that stupid Dame Edna special.
All right. So she's...
So she referred to.
Because when she first went to America, she wasn't very well received.
I wonder
why...
They didn't get her. They did not get Dame Edna until she'd made a huge impact in Britain. And then she took the whole show onto Broadway. And then it went off.
It went off,
like a firecracker.
Someone else who was on TV that people didn't get initially because they actually got him the wrong way was Graham Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
He was very naughty.
King Graham.
Yes. born on the 15th of February, 1934. Oh, look at that. The same year as Barry Humphreys.
Yes, and a couple of days apart.
Exactly. Mm. Isn't that incredible? Mm. Oh, the stars must have been in alignment to create
they were definitely,
a couple of characters
like that.
They weren't
going around the sun, as Galileo said.
Oh, no.
They were standing still.
But Graham was one of these people who privately was a quietish person, but put his other character on show, and he was a bright, shining star.
Stick him on the television or the radio, and all of a sudden he was no longer Graham Kennedy, the quiet one. He was Graham Kennedy, the complete extrovert, and away he'd go.
He was. He could hide.
And he made so much money for different products by pulling them apart, you know. If they're hurting, it's certain you're wearing Ralph Merton, you know.
Shoes,
yes. And he made a fortune, and shirts and stuff that he used to advertise and say, oh, you put these in the wash, they come out bloody terrible, and all this sort of thing. And
dog food.
Yeah, he'd do everything.
That same technique is used today, I'll say it occasionally, by Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
And we were speaking earlier of Head and Shoulders shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
They had a sponsored spot on her show, and they got their floor manager, who wasn't expecting it, to go up on stage, and they washed his hair, and Sofia Vergara and Ellen washed his hair and started grooming and everything, and it was totally comical.
Mm.
But it's the product sort of takes second place.
Yeah.
But you remember the product because you're laughing at what they're doing with it.
That's right, yes.
Whereas a straight read or anything like that would be very forgettable.
It's a placement, like in the shop. You've got to place it on the high-level shelf, not at the thing. And this was placement in a live situation.
Mm, yeah.
Well, he bought his dog on one day, and the dog just dropped a whoopsie on the floor.
No, he pissed on the...
Yeah, he lifted his leg or did something wrong on the table, and lifted his leg on the corner of the table. And Graham just about had convulsions. Yeah.
But he was laughing with it, shocked.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
There's that other chap.
There's rumours, actually, that the dog had been given copious amounts of drinking
before. Yeah. But the
and he had some sidekick on the TV of Bert Newton, and Bert went and has had his own great career as a result of the synergy between the two of them.
Yep. But the Graham Norton show on the television is very similar. He's a very similar sort of person to what Graham used to do, but he doesn't do the advertising.
The Irish, I presume.
Yeah, Kennedy, and he just knows how to do it. Yeah.
That's it, yeah. Someone else who played a character in a comical way was our dear lady lesbian friend, Patricia Routledge.
Oh, yes.
She's
Mrs. Burkhardt.
Well, this is right. Mrs. Bucket in Keeping Up Appearances.
Yes.
And her candlelight dinners. Patricia Routledge was, once again, an over-the-top character reincarnation.
And she used to sing off-key.
Did
that's,
she?
That's one of the hardest things to do because she was a trained singer. She was a trained stage singer, and she actually won a Tony Award on Broadway for a musical that they took from England to America, and she won a Tony Award. When in her younger days, you know, she was absolutely brilliant, beautifully trained singer, but she always sang off key when she was had the man with the piano next door, right. The brother next door, and he'd come in and she'd say, "Oh, what about the choir?" And she'd go into some sort of trilling sound. It was off key, and if you're a trained singer, that's very hard to do.
Well, it's a skill.
Yeah.
Some of us can do it without trying.
You do it without. Yeah,
never been on key.
Yeah. Very funny lady. Yeah, it's not a show that would date.
Keeping Up Appearances.
Yeah.
It is. It's on 7/2 or one of those.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah.
I think 7 actually has bought all the repeat licenses from the BBC, and so many of those shows pop there. Some of the shows you just don't want to see again, but that one is quite offensive in its own way.
I went and visited this guy who put a whole extra floor on his house, but that's another story.
Thank you, Phil.
Well done, Phil.
We'll revisit that one next week.
Oh, no, that's the end of the story.
You've been listening to Been There, Done That with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Thanks for being with us.
And that's another hour gone.
It is. We hope we've kept you entertained and informed and up to date with bits and pieces in history.
Well, and if not, we're sorry.
Thanks very much for being with us. See you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.